a huge welcome back to The Life Hustle. Myself and Faith have been taking a little sabbatical for Christmas. Or for, what? Okay, we're going to leave that in. We're not even going to delete it because that shows where my
sleep last night.
That shows where my brain is at the moment. I have had the most relaxed, chilled out summer and the brain isn't even on yet. We took a little break, so welcome back. Thanks for tuning in. And we hope that you have had a great summer as well. We basically have just been chilling out, haven't we?
Yeah, it's been fabulous. It's been great. Our summer, actually, that we're not like trying to plan big shows and crazy stuff. So we really enjoyed it.
We have a gorgeous event with the Irish Examiner in October. That's the only thing we've really been working on. Yeah. And outside of that, we have been having lovely family time.
Exactly.
Some crazy family time. Lovely family time.
Yeah, I think they'll all be skipping back to school next week and we'll be waving them off.
You were saying about Rob minding the boys yesterday.
Yeah, I was out all day yesterday and I came home to absolute chaos and he had serious cabin fever and said, for the first time ever, I don't know how anybody does this.
He admitted it. Go Rob.
So he really got a taste of it.
That's so good. I love it. I know. It is the most challenging but rewarding job, I suppose, we're ever going to do.
Somebody said to me actually last week, a wise woman said that you get more laughs than cries. So that's a good way of
lovely.
Looking at it.
That's lovely. You know, there are a few cries
when
though.
You're giving out about them.
Remember that. So yes, we have had a great summer. The kind of biggest thing for me was just switching off and not being online as much and going back to kind of basics. I am in the middle of reading the Eckhart Tolle book, A New Earth, and it's a bit deep, but it's really, remember you told me, Viv, about the Oprah book. What is it? What I Know Now or something, is it? I bought that about 6 months ago and I had read loads of people said it was a bit life changing. It's really easy to read. It's like a coffee table book. Yeah. But you read these passages and they kind of readjust your compass or your perspective on everyday things and the things you worry about. And so this book is taking that up a notch and it's incredible. And it really made me kind of realise that, oh, look, like, you know, it's all ego. It's all, what are we doing? What are we worrying about? And everything's just thoughts. Everything's just manufactured thoughts in our heads. And if you can get above that and just get on with things, like, you're really going to have a better life. So I found the internet was giving me way too many thoughts. It was like thought overload.
There's so much going on there, isn't
it?
And like, I read last week, actually, that would you let 100 people into your bedroom in the morning and in the evening? And that's exactly what you're doing by logging
would.
On to Instagram.
I feel like I do when the kids come in, the cat and the kids are like, meow, jumping on top of me.
Imagine another 100 onto
great
that.
Great point. So, you know, great point. I know, I know.
Privacy in your bedroom and leave your phone outside.
So that's why this guest is with us today. We have known her for years. We absolutely love her. Anytime I meet her, she has the most beautiful, kind of this lovely warm energy. And I'm just always drawn to being around her. I always leave having met her smiling, which is a lovely kind of feeling to leave with anyone. And when I saw her post on social media about being away with her family during the summer, she took 3 months off. She detoxed from social media and I found it really liberating. I was like, okay, she needs to come on the podcast. It's like, amazing. What is she? What species
her
is she?
In the room alone, I have like,
I know, we're just gazing at her like adoring.
I didn't think anybody could get that better looking in the last few years.
It's my head is so swollen right now. I actually don't think I'll be able to walk out the door.
We better
introduce keep it coming,
you.
Keep it coming.
So this is Hazel Buckley. And Hazel, you might know her from her business, theyogatree.ie. Or you might just know her from being just totally gorgeous around the streets of Cork with her three kids looking like she has her life together. Just pretending like we all do, but... Welcome, Hazel.
Thank you so much, Emer and Viv, for having me. And that is ridiculously the nicest things anybody's ever said to me.
It's so
I
true,
think
though.
I'm going to just keep replaying that over and over again whenever I'm having a bad morning or I look in the mirror and I'm going, oh my God. But no, it's really, really great to be on the show. So thank you both, Viv and Emer, for inviting me.
Thanks for coming. I just absolutely, like, you look at your timeline, which I rarely do now anymore, and it's awash with, you know, everyone's best life. But then I saw this beautiful picture that really drew my attention last night, and the caption had said that you had taken a detox, that you had come off social media, which as business owners, we're always afraid to do. We think if we don't put up some business posts, the business will crumble over a couple of weeks. And what would people think? And it just really made me realize that life is for living and what a gorgeous thing to do. And we want to know all about it. All about it.
So we set off about 3 months ago. We're just literally back in Cork City 2 days.
Wow.
So, we just had a really rare opportunity that we had a gap in our life that we could just go on a little adventure.
So you have three children, yourself and your husband.
Yeah, so Tyga's 7, Daisy's just turned 5, and Bobby is nearly 2.
Okay.
So it was good.
Now, we would say that would be taking your life in your hands.
Honestly, when I told some of my friends, most people were like, "Oh, that's amazing." And then lots of my friends that are mums were saying, "Are you absolutely insane? It was their worst nightmare. Why would you go on a plane for 15 hours and go backpacking, hopping on boats, on and off boats with backpacks with 3 young kids?"
But back to the book I'm reading out at the moment. If you listen to other people's perceptions of what a situation might be, that could hold you back. And sometimes if you just do it, it's fine. It's grand.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Can I just ask you how you convinced your husband to do this? Or was it the other way around? Because if I mention this to Rob, he'd be like, no way.
well, I suppose to go back to how it actually started. So my husband's been working up in Dublin for 13 years and he's been commuting up and down the road for 13 years. And it was really hard because, one, he was missing out in so much of the kids' youth.
So tough.
Yeah. So that was really hard. And I was trying to juggle, being a mom and teaching and all the other bits and bobs. And we kind of made a decision last year that he'd go back to college, that we'd have a little bit of a change in our life. So he went back to college for a year last year. And I was chatting to a friend of mine who's a farmer. He lends out this barn to me every year that I do this yoga Friday night out kind of thing.
It looks incredible.
How can we sign up to this?
It's like a healthy festival. It looks incredible.
That's my kind
of festival.
It's
very quirky. Yeah, it's crazy. It's very quirky, but it's great. It's really good fun. So Khan is amazing and he's the farmer that owns the farm. And, he's had some health issues in the past and they have 4 kids and they went on a big adventure, years ago. His wife's Australian. They went on a big adventure and we were chatting and he's really inspirational whenever you talk to him. And he said, why don't you and Tyke do something similar? And when he said it, I was like, yeah, right. It sounds great. And I went home to Tyke and I said, "Tyke, I was talking to Khan and he was saying, you know, why don't we do something similar?" And we both laughed. And then about 2 minutes later, we looked at each other and we went, "Let's just do it."
Wow.
So we took the kids out a little bit early from school. So we headed to Thailand and we just did some island hopping and it was best thing ever. So
that is amazing. So where did you start off? Now, I believe you did more than Thailand, didn't you? You did Portugal, even some of West Cork.
So 2 of our best friends were getting married in Portugal. So that kind of determined our timelines. And Tyke, my husband, was best man. Daisy was flower girl. Tyke, my little fella, was planting a tree. So it was
so lovely.
It was so cute. So it was a really special wedding for us. So we knew we had to be back in Europe for end of July. So we set off first. We went, we flew to Koh Samui, Koh Phangan, Koh Tao, then over to Raleigh Beach, Koh Phi Phi, Phuket. And we said move every 4 days. And then from there, we flew to Portugal. We traveled a little bit around Lisbon. And then we went back and spent the last couple of weeks down in West Cork and Barlycove. So just to acclimatize ourselves back to Irish living.
Had you done Thailand on your own, without the kids?
So it was our 4th time. So we had brought Tyke when he was 10 months. A friend was getting married in Australia. So we brought Tyke when he was 10 months. And we had been there twice before. We actually got engaged in Thailand.
No way!
It was really special to be back there. So so we knew that it was safe for kids and that Thai people are so amazing with kids.
Nice. Okay.
Have you been there, Viv?
Yeah. We spent 3 months there and I always think it's be an incredible place to bring kids. They're just so friendly and nice. I know it's a different experience because obviously when you go in your 20s, you're partying.
It's totally different.
Living the life.
That was the one thing Tyke and my husband kept on saying, we'd see all these backpackers and, they'd be out boozing or they'd be, just sunbathing all day.
Yeah.
Whereas we were, sweating, running after kids, making sure they didn't die in the water, we were like, so it was definitely a very different experience, but very safe, and we only went to beaches that were safe for the kids. Brilliant. And they were amazing.
And how, what, like, what was your biggest challenge? Were the flights okay with the three smallies?
Yeah, I mean, flights are always a big challenge, you know. In France, we kind of, on the flight over, it went quite well, thank God, because we were flying through the night. Brilliant. So the kids slept. Okay. And
do you have like a checklist of your pack that you bring to keep the kids occupied?
Completely. So, you know, I think the key is loads of food. Mm-hmm. Loads of snacks,
yes.
Especially for my 1.5-year-old. I think he just needed snacks all the time to keep him occupied. Because, you know, even though the kids had the TV and Tig and Daisy were in their element, you know, a TV that they could pick whatever they wanted for hours on end.
The dream.
And whereas Bobby just wanted to walk up and down, up and down the aisles. So we had snacks was a big thing. And then lots of little kind of toys.
Colouring.
Well, they're kind of new toys. They're just amazing. Totally. Not even if it's a little dinky or
exactly. And my sister-in-law was amazing. She bought the kids their own little kind of mini backpack, and she brought them into Pennies and got them lots of bits. Aww. So they weren't allowed to open it until
the flight. That's a great idea. So that was a big deal.
Oh shoot, I mean, that gave us hours of entertainment. So
that
was,
I'm gonna
amazing.
Do that for next week. Yeah, we're bringing the kids to Spain. Oh, so that's a great idea. Totally.
Little backpack each.
Yeah,
the boys would be loving it,
and they love that they have their own little backpack,
independence of it.
Totally. But from talking challenges, I suppose the flight obviously is always a bit of a challenge, but you know, I think if you're a little bit prepared, it definitely helps. Mm. But when we'd been in Koh Samui for 4 days, and we just landed in Koh Phangan, so we just got the boat across Koh Phangan, and my 7-year-old Tig was feeling a little bit feverish, and you know, we couldn't get his temperature down, but it was so hot there, it was like well in the 30s, so we were like climatizing anyway, so we thought he was just a bit unwell. And my husband was saying, you know, maybe we should bring him to the doctor to be safe. And he ended up in hospital for 4 nights.
No way.
So we were only there, we were only in Thailand for 5 days. But the hospital was amazing. It was like a hotel.
Was it? Compared to here?
Oh my gosh. There was only about 4 or 5 other patients there. We had our own private room. I had my own bed. My husband was joking, saying I was on respite from the two smallest kids and from mosquitoes.
He got the short straw.
Yeah, totally.
Mosquito respite.
Honestly, mosquitoes love me, you know. So it was great. It was, yeah, mosquito respite.
And what kind of insurance had you now going away? Is it just that form? What is it?
The E11 form, but you have to have other insurance now as well, don't
so
you?
So we had VHI, the travel insurance, and in fairness.
So that applies abroad then?
Totally. And I think it was just like €12 a month.
Wow.
But I would imagine that those 4 days...
Imagine what they cost.
Totally.
Yeah. What was wrong with him? Was it just
he just had tonsillitis, but it was kind of a bad. I think we caught it in time, and I'd say because of the heat, he was finding it hard to kind of to adjust, you know. So, but he was fine. I mean, he was a bit tired and weak for a couple of weeks afterwards, but yeah. I mean, he actually loved, but you know, once he got over the worst part of it, he was loving it. He got
the
loads
attention
of
in the hospital. Oh, they love that.
He got photos with all the nurses and he got brought home by the ambulance. He was delighted.
What a story when you're bigger.
I know. And in fairness, the place we were staying in, we were staying in this gorgeous little hut on the beach in Had Salad, and it was a family owned resort. It was kind of like a little backpacker place, and they were amazing. They used to drive my husband in every day, they wouldn't let us pay for any taxis, and they were
adopt you, don't they, over there?
That's so kind.
So nice. Oh yeah, it was fun.
And did you predetermine your accommodation before you went with the kids in mind, or did you kind of just do it as you went?
Yeah, no, we didn't at all. So we had booked the first 5 days, and then I suppose the whole idea was that we wanted to go away and not have any kind of plan, because you know, in our normal life, everything's planned out. We just drop the kids to school, you know, we have to meet somebody here, it's all planned, it's all busy. And I suppose the whole idea of going away was that we wanted no structure, we wanted just to go with the flow. And I think I was saying earlier, like, our mantra, the five of us, is to go with the flow, you know, just go, you know, like, don't take things too seriously, just go with the flow.
I need to do that more.
Yeah, well, we all have to keep on reminding ourselves, don't you forget.
And you get so caught up in little details and what you should think you should be doing today. And so you might get a curveball. So what? Go with the flow.
With the flow. So that was the great thing about Thailand, is you don't really need to book things in advance. And we were, we were in low season, so that helped. So we booked the first 4 days just so that we knew that we'd land somewhere and we were safe. And
And so then after that, we just booked as we went and we just chatted to people. And I think you get the best advice from other people traveling.
Yes, exactly. And if you fall in love with somewhere, you can stay. And
completely. Yeah, and the kids made so many friends in places. Aww. That when they were really happy, we just said, you know what, let's just stay two more nights.
Brilliant.
And then we just move on. And, you know, so it was great. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm your home now and back to school prepping.
Yeah, so my little girl Daisy's starting school tomorrow. Aww. So she's starting tomorrow. And
how is she about it?
Yeah, you know, she seems to be okay. And your little girl is starting tomorrow.
Erin's starting as well. Yeah, it's just so funny when you see their uniforms. They look so shrunken in their little uniforms. They're like mini grown-ups. It's like, how did we get to here so quickly?
I know. And the fact that they have to wear uniforms seems so kind of serious.
Restrictive. Well, we were laughing because down in Alahees over the weekend, the kids, they don't wear shoes. They're running around the field a lot of the time and the weather's nice and it's just freedom. There's nobody checks the time, as we were saying a while ago. And we were saying, how are they going to sit at a desk, do what they're told for hours on end, wear this uniform and shoes and everything? And I wish the teachers luck, you know.
And yeah, same. Actually, our little Bobby didn't wear shoes. So he lost his only pair of sandals in Coat House. So he had no shoes for 2 months.
I love but it. Isn't that so lovely?
So he just like, because we used to hop from boat to boat to beach to boat. So he didn't really need shoes. And when we came back, we thought, oh gosh. And we were down in West Cork for the first 2 weeks and he still didn't have shoes. We were like really bad hippie family. And we thought, well, we better get him a pair of shoes. So we bought him shoes and he wouldn't put them on for the first week.
No,
he was just
way
refusing it. So yeah,
it's the freedom. They love it. It's like going back to your natural self. Like it's lovely.
And how grounding to have your feet on the earth, you know, and not to have shoes. So
beautiful.
We should all go around with those shoes.
I know.
So Hazel, take us back when you like finished school, went to college. How did your career path go?
Yeah, I mean, it's so funny because I think like all of us or a lot of us, our life just goes in swerves.
Yeah, because we got to know each other from both having shops in the city.
Yeah, like, seems like a lifetime ago, doesn't it?
The fashion girls.
Yeah, girls about town for a while.
Girls about town. And then we had kids and then it all
exactly
changed. So I guess so after school, I went to and I studied computer science in UCC, which is so bizarre because I'm so not a kind of computer-y kind of person. But then I loved maths. It's really weird. I always had a grow for maths. I love problem solving. I love kind of maths. So I did computer science and I actually had a ball. And then I worked with my dad's company, programming for a little while. And then I went traveling and I came back and the plan was I was supposed to be moving to London to start this like big computer job in London. And I'd moved over there 6 days and I got a call that my mum got sick. So I moved home straight away, left all my luggage there and I just ran straight to the airport.
Wow.
And she died 2 months later. So that was really kind of start of the kind of life changing of like, you know, what's it all for? Like why?
You kind of race yourself through life, exam after exam, career, get on the ladder.
Completely.
And then something like that comes along and shows you what it's all about. And
completely. And I think it's
really hard to deal with, wasn't it? How old were you at that stage?
I was about 26. But you know, I mean, I had my, you know, I hear stories every day being a teacher and you realise how lucky you are that I had my mum till I was 26 is good going too,
you're
know.
For that.
My dad passed then last year, so that was kind of an extra little hit to have both them. But again, you know, these things are so heartbreaking, but they also make you recheck your life.
Yeah,
and say,
absolutely.
What's it all for? So I moved home and it was great that I was home though because I was there with my mum for her last 2 months. And she actually got diagnosed on my birthday, so I have a bit of a stigma to my birthday as well.
No.
But anyway, you know, smallest fighter. Yeah, they're both cancer. God. So I came home. And then as it happened, I had met Tyke, my husband now. So I have a Tyke, Daddy Tyke, we call him. And we have Young Tyke as well.
Mini Tyke.
Yeah, it's like Daddy Pig, you know, Peppa Pig. So I had met my husband Tyke just before I moved to London. But I was all, you know, I'm going to live the London life. I don't want to be in a relationship, you know. I just met him a couple of weeks beforehand. And I came back. And because I was back, you know, Tyke and I fell in love.
Aww.
And I think if I'd been in London, maybe we wouldn't have ended up together, yeah, you know, you don't know.
Oh, that's amazing.
So with mum getting sick, it brought me back to Cork. And now we've three beautiful kids. So it all works out.
I love your outlook that, you know, I was listening to that Bradley Cooper and Oprah podcast. Oh, it was absolutely magnificent about when one of his parents passed away and how he still has to see, he saw the beauty in the sadness.
Yeah.
And how, you know, if, you know, it's part of the life cycle. And if you can get to a place where you can appreciate the positive that you can take, if you can walk away from it and take something into your own life that's positive from a heartbreaking experience like that, it's part of your growth as well.
Oh, 100%.
I think it must be the missing them on a daily basis is probably the hardest part, isn't it?
Yeah, I think, you know, and I think then with Dad passing last year, it was kind of, you feel like a little kid, you're fragile, you know, that you don't have your parents, the structure.
The safety net.
Totally. But you know what? I have an amazing sister who's 5 years older than me, and I have two fab brothers. And, you know, so I think like that's brings us all closer together, you know, and I have
and
that
And you're
bond.
The parent now.
And I'm the parent now. You're which the mom I think now. Sometimes I struggle with that I don't have a parent and I am now, you know, the top of my little family. Yeah.
It's just such a big responsibility when you think about it, but it's a label and you've been doing it since the day you gave birth.
Exactly. And I think it's just such a gift. You know, I have so many students as well that struggle with getting pregnant and it's just heartbreaking. And you think how lucky we are when we do have that gift of being a mom. So I'm totally going on a tangent here. And I said, before I came in, I said, Hazel, focus now. Don't start going off on a tangent.
But that's real life and it's nothing about this is rehearsed, you know, and that's what we love. We love the chat and the real stories from people.
And I was laughing because when I came in first, the three of us were like three giddy, we couldn't stop talking. And we're like, we should be recording this.
I know.
So I moved home. And I worked in a golf company for 2 years doing sales. I was brand manager of Calvin Klein Golf and Green Lamb and a couple of other brands, a lovely company in Blackpool, Eurostyle. And I worked with them for a couple of years. And then I left and I opened up a shop with a very good friend of mine in the city. And I worked with that for a few years. So
they were good days, good old days.
Oh, they were so much fun.
That's
we were in our 20s.
Was buzzing and like, I remember the queues to get into your shop.
Oh, it was crazy.
Amazing when it first opened.
There was a lovely scene. Now there probably still is, but not for dinosaurs like us.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it.
There was lovely boutiques around.
It was lovely. And I was lucky because my partner, Tina, is like so creative. So she had, you know, she had the place looking, you know, amazing. So it was great. It was a great environment to be in. But yeah, Cork City was like buzzing with shops and the small little boutiques. And So then I went from then and, God, I'm trying to remember. So I actually became a yoga teacher though. 10 years ago. So I was teaching while I had Amity as well. So I was teaching a couple of years. I'm actually 10 years teaching this month. I couldn't believe it.
How did you get into teaching? So had you always practiced yoga?
Yeah.
Loved it and then decided I want to take this further.
So I started teaching about 20 years ago. No, sorry. I started practicing yoga actually about 22 years ago. So I took my first class with my mum when I was 17, which is totally giving away my age. So I took my first class with my mum and my mum was very much, she was a Reiki master. She was a reflexologist and she was a beauty therapist as well. So she was kind of, you know, a little mix of everything. So she was very into like healthy food and holistic living. So I think she gave my sister and I a great grounding in life. My sister's a yoga teacher too, gave us great grounding in life and just kind of made us kind of explore the whole kind of holistic side of life. And so it was great. So I was always interested in, and I suppose in my 20s, I dabbled, you know, my early 20s, I kind of came in and out a bit, you know, I was probably partying too much and having fun. And
you don't really, you're not really meant to commit to anything in that decade anyway.
And I think when you're very young in your 20s, you have no, you don't need like that balance of like, you know, you're just
having. Isn't it funny, how your mind changes, like you didn't need any of that.
Yeah, it's funny. And I think kind of then maybe 23, 24, I started getting back into it again and I started practicing much, much more regularly. And then I think when my mom passed, it made me kind of look at the things I want to do in life, because I said, right, life is short. I know it sounds so cliche, but I was like, right, you know, I always wanted to be a yoga teacher. So I said, let's just go for it. And I did the training.
You'd wonder, do we live our lives for what people expect of us? So you go to college, you do a certain thing, and then is it just easier to get a job in that field, you know, and have the security because you've done that in college? Everyone expects you to do that. So, but like, you'd wonder how many people actually say, you know what, this is not what I love, and I would love to do something else, and I'm going to actually put a full stop to that and try the new thing.
Yeah, and it's so true, because it is, you know, when my dad passed last year, I definitely found that I started kind of exploring the whole, you know, what's life all about, and, you know, longevity, you know, because both my parents had died of cancer, and I was like, God, I feel like I'm a very healthy person. But, and I thought my mum was quite healthy. My dad, probably not as healthy as my mum, but my mum was very healthy. And it kind of made me think, you know, like, how do we live longer? Like, what is the key? So I started listening to a lot of podcasts. I started reading loads of books. And I don't know if you ever listened to this this research that was done, I think, was it in Stanford? And it was the longest research ever done on humankind.
Okay.
I don't know, have you ever heard of it?
Is that about the island of, is it Sicily or Sardinia, where they lived the longest?
Yeah, well, actually, that was another podcast I heard about that as well, which was interesting. Is that the Blue Zone?
Yes,
it? Yeah.
Where they all just have purpose. They get up and they don't overexert themselves, but they have sense of community and they have purpose. And even in their 90s, they tend patches in their gardens and swap vegetables, and
actually that is so true, and I guess it's all so connected. And the one that I had listened to was so they'd followed these bunch of men in Boston in like around one of the world wars.
Okay,
my history is really bad, so I'm not sure it was one or two, but okay. Anyway, so they were following them, and one half of them were in like downtown Boston, the other half were like all college graduates, you know, so two very different backgrounds. So they followed them, they met them every year, they did they did a full medical check on them. They spoke to their wives, their family, a real kind of check on their mental health, their physical health and everything. And they followed them all the way through the life. And the idea of the research was to see what was the secret of longevity and happiness.
Okay.
And they followed them all the way along. And what the answer they got to the end was that it all comes down to relationships.
Aww.
And it all comes down to
being connected to others.
Be connected to others. That it's not about, and the key was like, don't invest your life in your career, you know, invest it in your relationships. Mm. Now, obviously, you know, we're so lucky because we all love what we do. So it doesn't feel like we're going to an office and we don't like it. So, you know, that's enjoyment for us. But I think the key is that it's just to invest in your family, in your relationships, than to be spending all this time, you know, in an office and regretting it. And I guess that was one thing, the great thing about traveling, we said, right, let's just seize the day, let's just go and spend time together as a family, you know.
That's so lovely.
Yeah,
I think you bond on holidays when you're away the 4 weeks. At the moment it's very much tag team at home with us. It's okay, like, oh, you run and do this and you run,
you're
and
an autopilot.
Yeah, and you just need to stop and have days together, don't you? And completely. Then, you know, you see things that the kids don't do that your husband mightn't have seen during the week, and you know, you get a kind of giggle out of it.
And you know what? It doesn't cost money to do that. That's what I like. Like, you know, if you were to look on Instagram and say maybe I put up a picture at the caravan and the kids are on the beach, like, we aren't loaded. You know, it doesn't,
the best times.
It doesn't cost money, and you know, we have no electricity in our caravan. It's not serviced, the site. Yeah. So we find other ways. And to the outside, it might look like, oh, you know, you have a great life, but I do. I carve it for myself, and
it's very simple.
It doesn't cost anything.
Totally.
You know, it will probably, to be honest, it costs us more to stick around at the weekend because you're trying to occupy the kids. You're in and out of shops and markets and shopping centres and doing, you know, whatever classes. Whereas down by the beach, they're just being themselves,
running
like all day long.
Freedom, isn't it?
Just fresh air, freedom.
Yeah.
My best memories of growing up would be getting into the Red Cortina, like about eight of us. And
no
seatbelts.
Yeah.
No seatbelts.
And
all
my
squatting,
nana smoking fags into our faces. And heading to Fernwoods.
And you all turned out fine.
Literally getting like chips and an ice cream on the way home. And
they're the
it was
best
the dream.
Memories.
And they are the things that stick.
But you know why that is? Because you were all together. Mm-hmm. Like, cousin time was always epic.
Yeah.
Cousin time. I think my kids are the happiest when they're around their cousins. It's amazing. Oh,
like,
Seb
literally declares his undying love for, like, he's like, I love my cousins.
And they
it's
really,
like such
and
a
they
strong
really
bond,
do.
Isn't
they
it?
Really do. Oh, it's so cute. Yeah. And it's just spending time together, as you say, like, just simple things, you know.
No, when they're happy.
And how, so you have a job where you can take a break, like in summertime, you're not teaching, are you?
So yeah, so I for years now, I've never taught July and August. Okay. And I'm so lucky because my students are so amazing that they keep coming back to me in September. Oh, I'm always afraid. I'm like, oh, I hope they'll still come back. And thankfully they do. And I think it's so good for everybody to have a little bit of a break. Mm-hmm. I mean, for me, definitely as a teacher, I come back with lots of new ideas. I'm recharged. I'm, you know, I feel like I'm definitely a better teacher. And then I think for my students, you know, they might have practiced a little bit. They might have went to another teacher. They might have just had a break maybe from me. And I think then they come back, hopefully, feeling very enthusiastic, you know, something. So and then this year, I suppose I just took a little bit longer. So, you know, I finished up 5 weeks earlier than I would normally. And in fairness, my students were very understanding, fair play.
And you do little lucky kids as well.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I don't do kids yoga, but I do baby yoga. So okay. That's so cute.
You trained in London, didn't you? In kind of a preschool age group.
Yeah.
Yoga for that age group.
So I suppose every year I do training. So I'd normally kind of, I've trained a lot in London. You know, I've done like prenatal training, mummy and baby training. I've trained with this amazing yogini from LA called Shiva Ray. She's like a super cool, you just be in awe or you just be staring at her, you know, but she's fab. So I've trained with her most years, with a very kind of creative type of yoga. Like it's almost like a dance with yoga, so it's really beautiful. So yeah, I think it's just important to keep training. So I'd always try to keep going back and, you know, try to explore it. And it's a good excuse for me to have a couple of days to myself as well.
I know, of course.
I'm working. Yeah. Like, you know, it's very important. Quote, my work. I had to go to London and do yoga for 4 days.
But yeah, and great. How do you juggle the kids then and work? Are you able to work them around your class times, or do you do more classes in the evening and weekends and stuff?
I suppose I'm really lucky that it is a really good balance that I work mostly in the evening. So I just work 2 days. I teach on a Monday evening. So then I'm around to pick up the kids and drop them to school, and hopefully Tig's normally back from work in time. And then on a Wednesday, family would mind Bobby. And then on the Wednesday evening, again, yeah. So I'm very lucky. I don't really need much child minding because I know child minding is so expensive.
I know,
as well.
I know. And is Tig back in Cork? So since he went to college and is working.
So he's finished college. Yeah, as I said, we're just back traveling. So we're kind of at that crossroads in our life. We're like, what do we do? You know, I mean, we're definitely staying in Cork, but it's like, what does Tig do with his career? So it's a really exciting
place. That's lovely.
Yeah, because it's just figuring out, like, does he go back up to Dublin or does he, you know, and I'm hoping that he doesn't have to go back up to Dublin. So, yeah.
But you know what I love is that you can change the compass at any time.
Exactly.
You can, you know, there's no blueprint that you have to know. You know, for so many decades, you were so lucky to have your grand safe pensionable job.
Mm-hmm.
And as valuable as that is, you know, there's a bit of living to be done too. And totally. It's okay to change what you want to do, you know.
Yeah. And I think that's it. You know, it's like, it's fear is what stops us from doing things. It's fear. So, you know, none of us are going to starve. We'll all be fine.
Yeah.
You know,
I think it's just having a kind of a supportive partner that will, you know, be open to new things. And
And I think it's just the key is just to be happy, you know. I just think, I just see it with students all the time, you know, people just, stress is such a killer. It's just the worst, isn't it?
If you can
just try to keep that at bay, then
because it does cause so many health problems, doesn't it?
I know. And you know what, there are things that are going to happen in life which, you well know, they're out of our control.
Completely.
And it's how you deal with that time, and it does help to have a supportive network around and to have someone to talk to. But you know, life is ups and downs, and if you know, if you accept the downs, you know, they're going to come, and it's how you deal with them. And
I think that's so interesting what you say about that research with the relationships.
It's so interesting.
People living longer.
I'll send you on the link to it. I'm always sending it to friends and students, but I just think
post it up.
Post it up. It's so interesting, and it's just a really, you know, extensive research. Mm-hmm. And I think, as I said, it was like the longest ever of, you know, research of humankind. Mm-hmm. So just follow them all the way through their lives, and just really resonated with me, because I think I was definitely, you know, like my friends were joking because I bought this book and it was called The How Not to Die Cookbook. It's actually amazing though. Have you heard of it?
How what?
No. The How Not to Die Cookbook. I mean, I went that far. Like, I was so kind of like, oh my God. You know, what is the secret to not dying?
That is actually, let's be honest now, how many of us, hands up, Google weird stuff like that in the middle of the night when the kids are awake?
Totally.
You're like, how pain in my left leg falling off.
And there's probably a book that's called that, you know. But it's guess it's like a New York bestseller. Okay. You know, I mean, what a great name though. But it's from this nutritionist. He's amazing. Dr. Michael Greger, I think his name is. And he has this free website. So like there's no advertising in it. It's completely, everybody works voluntarily on it. And it's always looking at if anything new comes out that's like said to be the best thing for your nutrition, okay. They research it and make sure that it is factual. But he's brought out this book and it's all about, you know, he calls it the daily dozen, like these things you should be eating every day and how not to.
Tell me some of them, please. I'm going straight to the shop. And going home.
Oh, well, look, I don't know. I love nutrition, but I think the key is not to get too obsessed with it because it can be so easy to get obsessed with it.
And I actually get bamboozled online from like, quick, do a no sugar diet, quick keto, oh my God, how can, I just gave up on it all because everything you scroll has something new that's being promoted. And completely. I'm like, should I be having protein powders? Should I be including like way more plant-based food in my diet? And I don't know. I've just gone to the, you know, broad kind of view of, don't overindulge in anything and try and be as healthy as you can.
It's not the old school. Yeah. That's where mommy started. Say everything in moderation. And my brother is hilarious. He's a great theory. He's like, you know, he was over at my house recently and I was trying to give him like a salad, some lettuce with his dinner. He's like, I don't like lettuce. Like he said, what would probably happen is I'd start eating lettuce because I was told it was good for me. And then I'd find out in 10 years time that actually kills me. Yeah. So I'm only going to eat the things I like because I'll be so mad if I find out they weren't actually even good for me. I didn't like eating them. So it's a good theory. It's good
proving.
And I've seen some green juice thing on your Instagram. Have you?
Yeah. So we a friend of mine, Jen O'Callan, and I do this yoga and food detox. So we did our first pilot one before the summer. It was so much fun. So I record yoga videos and, you know, I have them up on my blog and stuff like that and I kind of share them with my students. And the idea of it was that Jen is a nutritionist and I'm the yoga teacher. And I just think when you're detoxing, you know, traditionally like detox, you know, like juice detox, food detox, but it's so much about the mind too and the body. So
I was just going to say now, I'm thinking of one word while you're speaking, misery. I think
I know, I can see Eimear's face. She's like,
I'm like headaches. So there's two people in my head right now talking frantically as you're talking. And one is saying, you really need to do this. And the other is saying, you're going to be miserable and your family will hate you. Headaches, everything.
Oh yeah. I mean, definitely. I think as a couple, it's very hard to do it together.
But is there a way to do it without, you know, kind of getting the headaches, and or do you have to go cold turkey?
Well, I guess the way that Jen and I run ours is that we do like a pre-detox. Okay. So it's for 7 days, which I know sounds like, oh my God, 7 days. But a lot of people just did a few days, just do whatever works in your life. So we did a pre-detox. So your body's slowly adjusting to cutting out caffeine, sugar and all those things. So it slowly starts, you know, preparing you for it. And then when you go into the hardcore 3-day juice, your body's a little bit more prepared. I can see Viv's face now. Her eyes are like, her eyes are popping out.
I know, I'm really bad at the moment. I'm like,
I'd love to do that now just as a little quick cleanse.
And totally. I think after the summer
and a husband with a really sweet tooth in the house.
Sugar is the problem in our house.
In the house, it would be like, I wouldn't look for it. I'd have an apple or something.
And do you find everyone gives the kids sweets?
Oh, ridiculous.
And down the campsite, it's ridiculous because whenever I'm in the campsite in West Cork, it's like there's sugar and sweets coming from everywhere.
It's what they just walk around, you
from
know.
House to house.
I'm like, how do I replace that out with an apple? And they'd nearly kill you.
Yeah, yeah. I'll tell you a funny one. Seb's granddad, Tony, gives him marshmallows because on the packet it says 0% fat. So he's like, they're great now for the kids.
I know. Oh, and do you know what I always think is that if a grandparent can't spoil the kids, who can spoil
them?
True.
So
it's so sweet, but it is. I know, I know.
Okay, tell us about this detox. I want to do it.
Oh, I know. And, you know, Jen and I must meet and set a date now. So we, as I said, we did our first one for the summer and it was really good fun because the idea, I think, is that, as you say, you know, it's the headaches and it's all your toxin surfacing, which is like, who wants that? But it's obviously very good for us. So I think it's like the combination of yoga with it is that you're doing a little bit of yoga. So you're kind of doing a little bit of movement, but also maybe a little bit of breath work, a little bit of meditation to kind of calm the anxiety. But you're also moving. So you're flushing the toxins quicker as well. Okay. And you're feeling really good because I think, I suppose, when you're detoxing, you can feel really crap. Whereas if you're doing a bit of yoga, it's kind of giving you that positive endorphins as well. Mm. So it's kind of balancing it. So yeah, so we kind of set it up that it's 7 days, you've all your meal plans, you've yoga videos and meditations every day, different ones every day for for people that have never done yoga and for experienced yogis. So there's a bit for both. So yeah, it's really
sign
good
me
fun.
Up. I'm in. So let me know when the date is. I'm there. I'd be really interested in doing it.
Yeah.
Especially before Christmas, you know, coming into autumn. It's kind of a new leaf, new beginning feel to the season. And I'd love to do that. 40, before I turn the big 40 in 5 years' time.
How are you both feeling about turning 40? Oh.
You know what? It is just
you
a number,
both look amazing.
Though,
I feel very grateful.
Yeah. I think that's a feeling grateful, isn't it?
I have a friend. When we were 12, she passed away when we were in school in Turner's Cross. And I always think about her when I get to my birthday. Aww. I know I feel a bit teary now, but I always think of her. And I just think, we're so lucky, so privileged.
It's actually a privilege, isn't it? Every birthday.
I just feel so grateful. You know, it's lovely. So but I have to say, 5 years ago, I was working in VMware and in facilities, and we had put on this wellness week. And we invited Hazel out. We booked her to come and do free yoga classes for the staff out there and in Ballincollig. And I was early stages pregnant on Erin,
and you weren't telling anybody yet.
Just my manager Anne, who was amazing. And I remember being at the desk going, I feel so queasy, I feel so sick, oh my god, and told her, and she was like, you know, you should probably go over to Hazel and jump into the yoga class like in the middle of the morning when I should have been working. And she was like, go over, it would do you the world of good. And I remember going over to do it, telling her that I was expecting, and you were like, guess what, I'm expecting too. You were about a month or two ahead of
that's
me
so that is so funny.
You like without telling the class, kind of tailored a few of the positions for me, but I never, I did 2 days. The next morning when we came in, I ran over and I did a quick, say, 45 minute class with you, and I never got sick again. Had morning sickness.
I remember you saying that.
I still attribute the fact that I went from not being able to even smell anything to 2 days later being completely, totally fine to doing my yoga.
So lovely to hear.
But I think you set me on a mental kind of path of do this at home now. And I used to just put on YouTube. I still do it, just put on YouTube and put in a class and do it at home. And I think it definitely helped. And you had lovely treats at the end of the class.
Our little raw treats.
They were gorgeous.
I think all my students know me for my raw treats. I love
them. All the signs of juicing and raw treats.
I know. If you could see her, you just have to have a look online.
No,
and
listen,
she's
I'm
glowing.
Crossing my arms. I'm pure cork, defensive. But that's really
you
sweet.
Are
thank
glowing.
You.
You just have this beautiful glow about you. Finally, when you went traveling, what drew me into your post initially was that you took a detox from being online. Yeah. Having a business, it's nearly expected that you would always put up some posts and, keep connected or whatever. And we're nearly afraid to disconnect. What were the benefits, do you think? Did you miss it?
Yeah, so it was so interesting because before we set off, I thought, this would be a good opportunity to maybe inspire people to go traveling, and I'd post up a few pics along the way, and also that, maybe stay connected with my students and my friends and so on. But I was kind of really in two minds. And then when we went, I kind of felt, that. So at the start, we said to my husband and I said for the first few days, we're just not going to look at our phone. Okay. We're just not even going to look at our phone and just completely switch off from everything. And
did you find that hard?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, even we were chatting earlier.
Do you have a twitch in your hand?
Yeah, we were chatting about this before we came in, saying that how great it would be to have a watch so that you weren't looking at your phone to check the time.
Yes,
and
to go
you
back
get
old
sucked
school.
In. Mm. Yeah, and then you get sucked into the phone. So no, it definitely took a bit of adjustment, but it was fine, and we were actually really starting to enjoy it. And we found even our 7-year-old, and we don't have any Game Boys or DSs at home, but he is constantly asking me to play games on my phone, obsessed.
Okay.
So, and he'd see us on the phone, and then it would kind of trigger, oh, can I have the phone? And we'd only let him have it once a week.
And
very mean.
Do you find it's contradictory? Like, I'm at the stage now where I am starting to pull back, putting the kids online to just respect their privacy. I'm pulling back, taking the phone out around them because they call me out on it. She's like, Erin's like, put your phone away, Mom. I'm talking to you. And you know what?
How breaking that is that they're saying to us.
But in 2 to 3 years' time, she's going to be playing games on a phone. And how then can I turn around to her and say, put that away and eat dinner, or put that away, I'm talking to you. Yeah. If I'm not leading by example, so.
I know. Well, funny there, last year we had a reward chart for the kids for something, I don't know, I can't even remember what it was. But my 7-year-old said to me, why don't we do a reward chart for you and Daddy for not having your phone? So I was and my husband listening to this, who is amazing, I have to say, he's fab, in fairness, he's brilliant, and he's so so supportive of all my crazy ideas and stuff. He's brilliant. And, you know, I always claim he's on the phone more than me, you know, but he'd probably say different because I'm always replying to students and I'm always, you know. So we started this reward chart that it was like mommy and daddy, and we had to go through a day without them, without us touching our phones. So this is like last year before we were traveling, and it was brilliant, and it was so true. You know, we're trying to get the kids
double standards
on you now.
Yeah, they were so they were ticking off every day that we weren't on the phone, and if we were caught, and you know, I'd find my husband be like sneaking off to go to the loo, like to check something on his phone, like, you know, like a little quick little. Yeah, so like from talking about the traveling without the phone. So yeah, so we didn't have the phone, and I just thought, even, you know, none of us needed it. It was just so refreshing. So when we got there, so as I said, I thought originally that I would post up a few photos, stay connected. And then when I was there, it's like, I realized, you know what? Like, it's so good to have a break from it, because, you know, one, and I'm always in these kind of two minds about social media, is that I felt like, you know, what if somebody's at home and having a really bad day in the office and it's raining outside and they're miserable, and then I post up a photo of myself doing
your bikini
pic in a headstand, you know, I'm not sure when I put myself in a bikini in a headstand, but you know, myself, you know, in, you know, doing a headstand on this beautiful beach in Thailand. And I thought, is that really going to make that person feel better about themselves? I don't think so. So I said, you know what, so that was one big part
of it. It's lovely to have, like, there's nothing wrong with doing that, but isn't it lovely that you have the awareness to think about the wider impact of a picture and what is the actual point of putting it up?
Yeah.
What's the purpose of me putting this up? Is it my ego?
Yeah.
Or am I, like, I'm sure it would inspire people, but it's lovely you had the awareness to kind of think of both sides.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't know. And it was kind of, you know, I think it's just kind of thinking, you know, I think a lot of times you're right that it can be inspiring. So it's trying to get the balance right, isn't it? And I suppose that was one big element of it. And then another part was that, like, it was just so nice to be present.
Yeah.
And not to be thinking, taking a photo going, oh, wouldn't that be lovely on Instagram now? Because isn't that terrible?
So instead you can do that handstand in your bikini, girlfriend.
Let it all hang out. And nobody's going to see it. So it was just really refreshing just to be completely present with the kids and to have that and embrace that family time that we weren't sharing with anybody. We were just sharing with the five of us. And you know, and I said in my post on Instagram last night that I was going to post up some more photos. So I am going to post up a few more photos because people are being asking
now.
Me. And, and people have been asking me, but you know,
I'm sure it will inspire people to go, you know what, I'm going to do a magical trip with the kids.
And I think definitely, if anybody's thinking about it, definitely just do it.
Like, with Bobby, is Joey's age now nearly, and like, I would have never thought to do it, but you know what, he actually would be fine.
And it would be fine, because I think if you're in cities, it's different. You know, if you're in cities, it's really hard with kids.
Yeah.
But you're on a beach, you know, it's very
safe. They just want water, sand, you.
And we used to, you know, we had the system, Tyke, my husband and I, getting on boats, right? Because this was the biggest challenge. Like, how do you get three young kids?
And your luggage.
You know, two of them who would just run
straight
for the water.
You're outnumbered.
You're outnumbered. Two of them would just run straight for the water. Right? Like, Bobby, there would be no hope of Callie and Daisy would just go off and see something, would float off in the other way, you know? And then two big backpacks, a buggy, two little small backpacks. But we actually, about 2 weeks into the trip, we dumped a whole backpack of stuff.
Oh, wow.
Because that was a game changer, trying to carry all those backpacks. So we just gave them to the housekeeping. We just left loads of stuff we didn't need. So we used to have this system that Bobby would be on my sling in the front. I'd have a small little backpack, just a little mini one. And the kids would carry their own backpack. And then Daddy Tyke would have his big rucksack. And he'd have the buggy. And I suppose that's how we just found a system.
Because
at the start it was stressful. We were sweating. You know, the kids were hanging off us. You know, trying to hold kids and you're like 35 degree heat, trying to hold a backpack. It was just crazy.
This is so funny because a few of our friends went to Hare Island at the start of the summer. And like that, it was all very...
And there was
like,
a brand new baby.
And they had to get the boat over and like you had to do your shop and order everything. It was such an adventure.
And like that, you think the world is going to stop. I need to order all of the food in the whole
couldn't
shop.
Couldn't get
all
his head around it. He was like, no, we definitely wouldn't be able for that.
Couldn't survive
for 2 nights. I definitely need to change him. I need to bring him to your house and you can tell him how amazing
it was. Let Rob and go for a pint and you'll convince him.
But Hazel, thank you for sharing your story. It's absolutely really lovely and refreshing to hear from someone who has switched off and has just been out having a lovely summer and took your three smallies away abroad to different countries and to hear. And you survived to tell the tale.
We survived it. Well, funny when we walked through, and sorry, I know you're probably trying to finish this up, but I keep on talking.
No, I love it.
But we arrived in Cork Airport a couple of weeks ago. before we went to West Cork, and we got into the house, back into our house, and we just took a breath and we high-fived each other. We said, we're all back alive. It. We are actually alive. Because there was times that it was a bit kind of
sketchy.
So we were like, we high-fived, we're like, yes, we survived it.
Well done.
Oh, thank you so much.
Such
guys,
a lovely story. So we look forward to the detox. We'll keep you posted about that. Yeah, so keep us posted. And if you want to visit Hazel, check out her page now that she is back online. You can visit her at theyogatree.ie, and you're on Instagram as theyogatree as well?
Yeah, so it's Hazel the Yoga Tree.
Gorgeous. Hazel, it's been such a pleasure having you here.
It's so lovely to see you both. Thanks, guys, for having me.
Thank you for bringing your sunny personality. You're after setting the tone for the day for us. Thank you.
I want to have my green juice and not my coffee.
I know. 50 coffees a day, it has to stop. So we hope you enjoyed this episode. Check out all of the other amazing content on redextra.ie. Thank you to Red FM for always housing our little podcast here. It's great to be back. And please do engage with us on Facebook or on Instagram. We might not get back to you straight away. We could be changing nappies. We might be lying at the back in a deck chair drinking coffee / gin.
Hardly.
But we will get green juice.
Yeah, green juice, for the next 3 months. But do keep in touch. We love to hear from people. And if anyone out there has a story, we are always looking for like-minded people and inspiring stories and people with inspiring stories to get in touch with us. So do stay in touch. Big thank you again to Red FM and to all of you guys, our listeners. Have a great day.